Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Music on the road.
Guys, we, like, literally no joke, we are on a train.
A moving train.
A moving train, drinking wine and, well, Michael's drinking a...
Bullet and Sprite.
Bullet and Sprite. And we are joined... If you don't know that laugh, we are joined by Tanya Rad.
Hey. Hey, what does the Rad stand for?
So my last name is Radisavljevic. So it's
one more time.
Radisavljevic.
Sure. What is that?
Serbian.
Oh, interesting.
100% Serbian. So
you're 100%.
100%.
Like you were born there?
Born here. But
so
both
does
my
that
parents.
Really make you 100 then?
Well, both my parents are 100.
Oh.
So like they moved here.
Oh.
I was born here. So my last name is very, very lengthy. And so professionally.
How many letters?
13.
Holy crap.
So professionally, I was like, oh, email me. My email is Tanya Radisavljevic at iHeartMedia or whatever. And people are like, how do you spell that? So I just chopped it professionally.
Do you know how many people are going to try to email you now with that name?
Yeah.
That's funny.
It does not exist, so don't even try.
I don't know. I love that. Well, we're just so happy that you're going to be our co-host on today's Wind Down because we have a lot to wind down with. But just to kind of get everyone in the scope of like why we're here, we are helping or we're a lot of listeners are here for the Red Cross. So we're here and we're giving back and we're on a plane. I mean, on a plane, Jesus.
Train.
We're on a train. If you hear that little noise, that's why we're here. So yeah, it's gonna be fun. We're gonna drink and meet people and have fun and give back to the Red Cross. I'm super excited.
I'm actually like really excited because I get to see you guys like in and out of the studio when we're like transitioning and like we have events here and there, uh-huh. But like right. I'm really excited to just like
just hang.
I kind of love what you said to Mike in the car on the ride to the hotel. Do you want to tell our listeners what you said?
I've come full circle. With Mike, I did not love you in the beginning when I met you.
So even when you met me, you just you
when
just
did you
had
do
a,
remember
a
the first time meeting?
Mindset.
Yes, and it's I don't use the word hate. I didn't hate you because it takes a lot for me to hate somebody. I did not hate you, but I had heard some things.
What did you hear?
I'm
just from me or from like the word of mouth.
Just word of mouth.
Okay,
but stuff that's like true.
Oh, stuff that like we've been through.
Yes.
Oh,
yes. Okay. Yeah, okay, not okay, anything okay. Like that was like gossipy.
Oh, okay.
Like he cheated, blah blah,
yes,
whatever.
Yes. Okay. And so my guard was up with you.
Understandably so.
But as I've like just little things that you've done here and there, and I don't even know if you know that you do these things, you really are a gentleman, and I can tell that you are kind, and just by little things that he does. And I know
thank
it sounds
you.
Really silly, but I pick up on these
that.
Things and I really have come full circle. And it's been a while since I've come full circle on you, but I expressed it to you today because I don't know why.
What, was there a moment or was it just over like over time you kind of just was reflecting on it or was it something?
She strongly disliked me until today when I said I'd get her back.
No.
Up until today. This
no,
morning changed everything.
On the airplane.
But even that, like even just offering to do that, I think is really it's sweet and it's kind and it's a gentleman thing and I can tell that you're a good guy.
Thank you.
Yeah. I really genuinely mean that.
I appreciate that. I gotta be more consistent in that with my wife, right, honey?
Yeah.
But nobody's perfect.
No, it's just it's hard with the person that you know, you see the good, bad, and the ugliest with the person that you're with, right? And I'm literally reading a book right now, or I started reading. I read the introduction. I'm beginning to read a book called How to Be an Adult in a Relationship. because, I mean, it's just, the thing is, you know, unfortunately, Jana might feel like I'm mean because sometimes I am because I don't know how to express my feelings.
Right.
And so I just kind of like hold in, and then I'm just like, ah, and then I just kind of like bust out. And then it's
and he'll
like,
say like, and the thing with him is like, he'll say really mean things.
Right.
Where it's like, he could have done a million nice things maybe that week or that month, but like he says like, you're so annoying and you ask stupid questions. So then that's all I hear.
But
and
I,
then I'm just
I think
wrecked.
It's really honorable for both of you, honestly, because I think that you are really open and honest about a lot of things that go on in your relationship and not a lot of people are that way. And I think it's really awesome because you know, there are ups and downs to being married and ups and downs to being single.
Right.
And not a lot of people talk, you know, it's like we have this perfect marriage and it's, you know, rainbows and butterflies. And I think that's really awesome that you guys are open about it.
What are you, we were playing kind of the question game on the van ride up
here. Because Tanya was
Napa.
Like, let's play games. I was a camp counselor.
I love that.
Well, it's because we're all on this like car ride together.
No, I loved it.
And so
no, it was
like,
great
because
what's the default, right? Everyone's going to go to their phones or not really have a conversation. I thought the bus ride was fun though. And, but you asked us, you know, what's the worst thing about marriage?
Yeah.
So I will mirror that question and say, what's the worst thing for you about being single?
I think for me specifically, I crave companionship.
Mm-hmm.
I really love companionship, and I think there's something really beautiful. And I have a lot of companionship in my life.
Right.
Not obviously romantically yet, but I have a lot of friends that are like family and coworkers that are like family and family that's family, you know?
Yeah.
And
right.
So I have that, but I think for me, I really, I think it's really cool to do life with somebody and go through milestones with somebody and learn and grow with somebody. So I think for me, I'll big things will happen in my life and I want to be able to share that with somebody and have that be long-term, you know? So it's like, that's the hardest thing for me.
For sure. Who's the first person you go to? If something exciting or something bad happens in your life, who's like the first person you're going to text or call or whatever?
My mom.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah.
So you guys are really close.
Yeah.
What's your relationship with your dad?
Very close too.
Okay.
But he doesn't get all of this lifestyle. Like he's like foreign and just.
Men in general, like the same way with my parents. Like my mom understands a little bit more. My dad's very old school, very old fashioned. So he's just like, what?
Yeah. Like my dad didn't really even realize who Ryan Seacrest was until like 5 years into me working for him. He was like, oh. I was like, yeah.
That's only the most known personality. Cute.
Yeah.
Like,
he's
in
the
America.
Cutest.
Do you love working for Ryan?
I truly adore working for Ryan.
What's like the worst part about it, though? If you can say it.
The worst
part.
The
early mornings.
I'd say the early mornings.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you get that with, like, I mean, if I were to work on any morning show.
Right.
You know? What's the worst part about working with him? He chooses pen caps, which is, like, kind of really annoying.
Oh.
So there's, like,
one of those.
Chewed up pens everywhere.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So there's a specific someone on the train that we might be interested in? ! Exclamation point.
So he was a guest host on my podcast when I was out. He co-hosted with Becca.
Okay.
And our entire like scrubbing and Facebook group was like running amok about how Blake is like my dude.
Oh.
I never thought of him that way. Truly.
And he was, what's his story? He was on the
He was, what season was he on?
He was on Becca's.
Oh, he was. Oh, the, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah,
most
yeah,
recent
yeah.
Bachelorette.
I mean, he's so sweet. Would you be super uncomfortable if I had him come on and then kind of made it public?
No. Do you think anything makes me uncomfortable?
No. But by the way, whatever happened with football guy?
What football guy?
Oh, Jared Goff?
Yeah.
He's a girlfriend.
What? When?
When?
Because he slid into your DMs.
Ever since they went to the Super Bowl?
Yeah. It was like right before that, actually. But do you know what's actually really funny? I think it truly was like a benign DM. Like it
There's
was
no benign. I do not know.
Really?
No. There's If a guy slides into a girl's... It's like, babe, when you slid into my DMs, was that benign?
Right. When I strategically favorited her photos.
Because all he
Wait,
said,
really?
Mind you, that's how we met was Twitter. So, mind you, all he said when I did follow him back eventually was,
Thanks for the follow back.
So that could have just been, you know, but so whatever he said to you in
he
years,
had me at hello.
Hey, thanks for the follow back.
What's up, girl?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's clearly something, even whatever he said to you. I mean,
it was like a music thing. It was like, oh, you know, I do song of the day every day.
Right. Well, he had interest in something. So it was just we had to do a better follow up next time.
Yeah. I
follow
I know.
It up a little
And I
better.
Think I'm also very naive. When people flirt with me, I don't get it. Like, I don't pick up on it. So I'm always like, oh, really? Like 5 months later, I'm like, oh, he did? I had no idea.
You're like, cool, bro.
Wait, I could be a little redundant here and your listeners probably know. When you guys first met, who like was the pursuer?
Mike.
This guy.
I didn't know who Mike was.
She didn't know I existed on this earth.
Until
I slid in.
Yeah. No, he kept favoriting a few of my things. And then it was a bored 30 years old, eating macaroni and cheese, having a glass of wine. I'm scrolling through my Twitter. and I see this guy favoriting my stuff. I click on his picture. I was like, oh, he's cute.
Oh.
And then I followed him back. And I saw he had a blue check mark too. And then he was a football player. Oh, shoot.
Shoot. Wait, okay, so here's my question.
Check, check, check.
Check, check, check. Did Jana play, like, did you play cool? Were you kind of, like, seemed disinterested?
I kind of got him on the spot. So, like, I followed him. Then he shot back right away within a minute.
As often as we tell this story, it was not. Because I strategically planned it. I was in my house that I had in Baltimore at the time. I had a couple buddies that lived with me. And it was a rainy Sunday afternoon. We're about to watch a movie. And she followed back. I told my buddy, I was like, hey, Jana Kramer just followed me back. Like, what do I do? And we were like teenage girls. It became a wee thing.
Oh, that's cute.
Like, what are we going to say? And he was like, my buddy Alex Butt said this. He's like, let's just watch this movie and then let's figure it out and like do this together. I was like, all right, 10 minutes in the movie. I was like, I can't. I have to message her back. And so the whole movie, I wasn't even paying attention. We were just DMing back and forth.
But so... Like, mind you, that was happening, and then 4 days later, he flew out to one of my shows. But then I did some kind of crazy things. I FaceTimed him the second day,
That obviously didn't turn you off.
No, not at all. And what's funny is, so that was on a Sunday. We talked on Twitter. Monday, she gave me her number. Tuesday, we talked on the phone, and then she was like, "Hey, you know, let's FaceTime," and she kind of hit me randomly with it. Right, so
I love a rogue FaceTime.
I was like, what? I was at the dog park with my dog in Baltimore, like in inner city. So I'm like, hey, like I'm at the dog park, like give me a few minutes. I booked it home. I live like a mile from the dog park. Booking it with my dog. Get back, change my shirt, put a hat on. Probably did some push-ups before a FaceTime, which really doesn't do anything.
That's so good.
But still, I just felt better about myself. Yeah. And then we FaceTimed and. Two days later.
It's so funny because I tell people that all the time because they're like, I always say I'm like a lot. I'm a loud personality, and right. And everyone says you need to let the guy pursue you, and I'm like, but I don't think I do. Like I want someone obviously that wants me the same, but I'm like, I'm just gonna be me.
That's part of what attracted me to Jana so quick was like she's just a normal person, just like everybody else, and she's just like, hey, we're hitting this off. You want to come see me in Chicago? I was like, it was 9 o'clock at night. I was like, sure. How's tomorrow? Like, first thing in the morning, he's like, yeah, let's do it.
Well, I'm glad you invested in me, babe. And you know what else we're investing in is Robinhood.
Boom.
So Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos all commission-free. While other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, Robinhood doesn't charge any commission fees. So you can actually trade stocks and keep all your profits, which is amazing.
Yeah, plus there's no account minimum deposit needed to get started. So you can start investing at any level. There's also You can also view easy-to-understand charts and market data and place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone.
You can also view stock collections such as 100 most popular. With Robinhood, you can learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio. So discover new stocks, track your favorite companies, and get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners of Windown a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. So all you have to do is sign up at windown.robinhood.com. Okay, so we want to let y'all know that Mike and I are going on a podcast tour. We've got 3 dates coming up in May. So we're doing Virginia, Boston, and New York. And we're so excited about it. So basically, we're going to wind down with you guys, and then you're going to get an exclusive concert. I'm going to play a bunch of songs, and it's going to be a really fun time. So we want you guys to come out, get your tickets at janakramer.com, because it's going to be a blast.
Come on out. It's going to be a great time.
I know, I can't really wait.
People are going to hear songs that that you haven't released yet.
Yeah, I'm going to be singing songs that I have never sang before, new songs. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And again, the podcast doesn't actually, it's not going to be like live. So people, you only get to hear it if you're there. That's it.
Yeah.
So it's going to be very exclusive.
Come on out. Be a part of it. We want to be very interactive.
Yeah. If you heard our last live podcast, that's what you're going to get. But this one's just going to be more intimate and you guys can't actually hear it. But if you live in Boston, Virginia, New York, it's a show just for you. So it's going to be fun. JanaKramer.com. Get the tickets.
Come on now.
Okay. So hi, Blake.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
So the last time I saw you, I was super pregnant with Jace.
Yeah, you were.
And you... you were single.
I was. I am.
You're still single.
I am still single. Oh. I think that's what you're getting at. Yeah, I'm still single.
Let's cut to the chase. I'm still single.
Let's cut to the chase. This is going to be the grilling match.
Oh, boy.
Welcome to my wife. There she
goes. What kind of woman do you want? Like, if you could have your... What are the top three qualities in a woman?
Ooh, I love, like, an independent woman. I want...
Tanya.
A woman... That didn't take long. We're 30 seconds in.
I'm so sorry. Excuse me. No, I just Tanya cough. Excuse me. So sorry. Go ahead, Blake. Independent woman.
Yeah, I always say that I want a woman who doesn't need a man but wants a man. That's kind of like what I'm attracted. I have a lot of strong women in my life, so I'm attracted to that. So
you have sisters, kinda, yeah?
I have a sister. Well, I have stepsister, my sister, and then my mom. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, I guess I gravitate towards, you know, like, I guess strong, independent women. Mm-hmm. So that's something I'm definitely looking for. And I like a sense of humor, but I do like dry sense of humor kind of. Mm-hmm. I kind of like.
So you're like the Office, Parks and Rec.
Yes, totally. Yeah. Big Office guy.
Good job, honey.
You're welcome. That was for you, babe. I don't understand that humor, but.
Yeah, I love that. And witty, you know, I like a girl who can like snap back, clap back a little bit, you know, when you.
Do you know the girl to your right?
never met her.
You've never met?
I can't with this.
How old are you?
Oh, Tanya's here. Okay, good.
I turned 30 in 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Yeah. Okay. And then Tanya, how old are you?
31.
Oh, that's great.
That's great.
I will tell you the dynamic. So he's younger than me.
Oh, okay.
And I actually like that dynamic. It's good. And especially because, you know, Tanya and I are very, you know, independent, strong women.
So I was on jury duty a couple weeks ago. Blake filled in for me.
Can you tell us about the case?
Blake, I actually can now, I think.
Oh, really?
It was so gnarly. Like,
it sounded, I remember you talked about it. You kind of talked about
it. Yeah, I couldn't talk about it at the time because when strangler? It's open. No, it was
good.
Like.
Good.
What?
Little office.
No.
It was like a really gnarly case. They didn't end up picking me, but it was a 3-day jury like selection. Wow.
Why didn't they pick you? Did you do the things where you're very opinionated so then you don't get picked?
No, but do you know what's so crazy?
What?
Is the judge, like, this one man clearly was doing that. Like, he was just saying everything to, like, not get picked. The judge picked him to be an alternate, so he had to stay on the trial. But he didn't even get his to vote on it because he could tell that he was literally was like saying everything to get out of it.
Yeah,
Donald Trump. That's the answer for everything. Donald Trump.
Literally,
okay,
it was so funny. So he picked him to be an alternate. So I didn't do that. I was very honest, but it had to do with BDSM websites and like stalking and like gnarly things that have like.
Put his ass on trial.
Yeah. That was like really intense. But anyways, that being said, so Blake filled in on Scrubbing In.
I did.
I don't know what you saw. Actually, I listened to it.
It was really fun. I had a blast.
Our listeners were obsessed with you. And then they were like, now they're convinced that like you're my guy. Like,
are they really?
Yes. That's great. They're like, Blake.
I'm convinced that you're
clearly
her
you
guy.
Are too, yeah,
so I just feel like, I know you live in Denver, right?
I do.
So how could we make... Just, I think, one date. At least one date. Because here's the deal. You have to put in, like, the effort, you know?
No better time than present.
Because Michael lived in Baltimore when I first met him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, times I thought, oh, this isn't going to work. He lives in Baltimore. I'm not moving to Baltimore. But I would have.
Good backpedal there. Good. That was a good save.
I would have, though. I really, truly would have. But at the time, we needed to be in Nashville.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But okay. I'm just saying, like, for y'all's situation, I think you owe it to...
Oh, we have a situation
you
already.
You do. Right now, you have a situation.
The best part is we get here, and Jana, like, looks at you. She points at you.
I do. I did the head thing.
Did
I was
you?
Like, yeah. I was like, what about
everybody?
I know. Well, I'm just saying, I think you guys are both attractive people. You're both nice people. And I think you guys have the same values and the same...
Tell you what, we'll go to dinner tonight, Tanya.
Hey, no, I'm not with everybody else, though. I do have a question, though, because of Tanya's work. Is that something where you'd be comfortable? I know, like, you aired your life out on The Bachelor, but do you want more of a private life now? Or do you want, like, because she's obviously would have to talk about y'all's relationship and y'all's date. So would you, is that for a guy... You don't want that to be talked about?
Good question.
I think that might be hard, Tanya, for you. I think guys might feel a little...
I think if you have boundaries around it.
I have... It's interesting. So
I could see that hurting.
Do you run into that in other relationships? Like, do you...
Yes. Yeah. But it actually has never been the reason why something hasn't worked out. Like, most guys... And I do talk a lot about my relationships. Mm-hmm. But there are boundaries. Like, I don't share everything. And Ryan's actually really good about not pressing on the topics, because I went through a really bad breakup when I was working on the show. Mm-hmm. And he was really, really, like, when I tell you, the most gentlemanly, like, just the best ever about, like, being respectful of letting me share what I wanted to share and not what I didn't want to share. Mm-hmm. So I do have boundaries, and I don't share everything, obviously, but I do share.
Right.
And how would that be for you?
Yeah, that I mean, like you said, I was on The Bachelorette, and I talked about everything, you know, I put it all out there. So it wouldn't bother me, no. That's not like a deal breaker or anything like that.
Well, so that's good. So we can put a check next to that question. Mike, what about you? You got any questions for Black A?
Good. I've got, yes.
That's my only question. Good. I was like, how many times do you get Black A?
That's my Instagram handle, Black A.
Perfect.
Where did I just that, plugged where my Instagram from? Handle.
Key and Peele. Key and Peele skit.
Key and Peele skit.
Oh, okay. Because I just hear you always say whenever there's a Blake, he's like a Black A.
Yeah. I mean, everyone. It's like universal.
Yeah.
That and A-A-Ron.
A-A-Ron? I don't know that one either.
Yeah.
A lot of people, though, a surprising amount of people had no idea. They were like, what does your handle mean? And I was like, I put
if you don't know, then unfollow me.
Exactly. I put the skit up finally, and I was like, look, I'm tired of the DMs asking what my name means.
Right.
Up.
Do you want kids?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
do you want to get married?
Yes. All of the above.
What is your timeline?
I've never been the guy that's had, like, I need to be married by hand and have a family by then. Like, I've never been that guy. So there's
that's
no timeline.
That's good.
Yeah, there's no timeline at all.
I mean, I like this. Yeah. I think you guys could be, I do. I really like it. Do you like it?
I mean, yeah.
That was a test. You passed. I mean,
I'm not putting any pressure on them.
Hey, I appreciate it.
Pressure either. I just say they should have dinner.
Yeah, for sure.
A quiet dinner by themselves.
Wow.
Well, tonight they can just sit in a corner booth and on this moving train.
Mm-hmm. Sit in a corner.
I don't know. I think you'd be really cute, but that's just my personal opinion. How are you feeling? Do you feel any jitters?
You're
any,
useless.
Like,
I'm blushing. Like, I feel like Donnie's used to this.
Well, it's so funny because I'm telling you, it was like an overwhelming.
Really?
Yeah. And then what's even funnier, so we were reading all that back when I came back the next week, and I'm like big into like astrological signs. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, just for and giggles.
You did it.
No, I looked up. We looked up. We tried to figure out what your sign was. Yeah. And you're my perfect match sign-wise.
Stop.
That's funny.
The stars have spoken.
The stars have spoken.
I mean, there's something to that.
I will say,
there really, truly is something to that.
Because you're a Taurus, right?
Yeah.
He's like, actually,
I'm
a Sagittarius.
I don't do that.
You're like, I have no idea. So you're a Taurus.
I think I'm a Taurus. I'm like on the verge from what I've heard. Like on the
Aries, Taurus cusp. Yeah, I looked it. We looked into it.
Did you really love Becca?
Yeah.
You did.
I did. Yeah.
Do
I did. It
you
was
still love her?
No.
My wife.
That was no, that's good. Straight to the point. I did. I think I was one of the unique. I knew like right pretty much pretty soon. I remember going
you
after
said
our
soon.
First after yeah. our first one, I want to remember laying in bed and going, this is going to be really hard, you know? I was like, I'm going to fall for this girl. Right. So I knew pretty early on, yeah.
And then you got pretty upset too. You got jealous. Didn't you almost leave? Like you had a moment where you're like,
I can't do this.
No, I didn't leave or anything. I didn't like threaten to leave or anything. But it was really hard for me. We fell in love with each other super early in the process. And uh-huh. So then I had to sit there and watch her fall in love with somebody else, which that's not easy to do.
I don't know how you guys do that.
Yeah,
as a woman, I could not do
way
it.
Way harder than I anticipated.
I would just be all, I would be crying. I'd be Ashley.
Yeah. And you're literally
the entire time. Like, I would just cry the entire time.
And you don't have anything to do. So all you do is sit there and think about it. And then you talk to the producer, who's basically a therapist. Like, that's your therapist. You just sit there and talk to him for hours about it. So, yeah, it's brutal.
Yeah. Everybody has, people have told me to go on The Bachelor, and I was like, I genuinely don't think my heart is built for it. I don't think I could.
Well, and that's the thing is, I will never judge anybody for what they do in that environment, because it's such a ridiculous environment.
Yeah.
Like, you can't judge somebody who they are off of that, what you see on television, or even when I'm in it. Like, I wouldn't judge somebody until afterwards. I'd have to talk to them and meet them afterwards, because everybody reacts differently in that environment.
I feel like, I mean, it seems like this, like a lot of you guys, like, you know, today and stuff, you guys are really close. Like, all the guys are on the show together and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Like, does that really, like, do you leave with friends that you'll probably be friends with the rest of your life?
Yeah, I think I definitely have. I don't know for everybody, but I definitely will. There's no TV, no internet, no phone, like nothing. You're completely cut off. So all you do is talk. Like all you do is talk. You really get to know these people. And then me and Jace, so like I said, people early on kind of knew that me and Becca had a really good connection. So I kind of distanced myself, and people distanced themselves from me. I still was able to, you know, get close to the guys, but not as close as when I left the show.
Right.
And then Jason, Colton, all, you know, we signed contracts to be The Bachelor. And when Colton was picked, you know, I remember texting Jason, and I was like, let's go, you know, we got a whole, let's go experience all this craziness. And we did a lot of events together, and that's when we got super, super close.
Oh, that's cool.
And so that's the thing is, like, after the show, you hang out a lot, and you get even closer, even post-show. So,
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, Blake, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Really appreciate it. We're now going to talk about you.
I was just going to say, okay, I'm going to go so you guys can talk about me.
Wait, I fully want to do a podcast here and have it be you and I.
That'd be fun.
Oh.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Blake.
I mean, he was a fan favorite. Like, our scrubbing and listeners, they like are... They're very vocal, and they're like, we will only take Brad Goreski and Blake. Like, they love when Brad's on. So they're like, whenever you guys need to fill in, it needs to be either Brad or Blake.
Yeah. So what'd you think? Bye, Blake.
No, what'd you think? He hasn't left the room yet.
Okay, he's gone. He's left the train. He's left the train.
The
what
caboose.
Do you think?
I think he's a good guy.
There's a butt.
No, there's no butt.
Okay.
But the butt's he lives in Denver.
That sounded like a butt.
There's a butt. The butt says that he lives in Denver.
But that doesn't matter.
I'm with you.
Like, well, it doesn't. Like, it doesn't matter until you get to know the person. It's like, would you move? Like, would he move to Los Angeles?
Let's pause that really fast because you know what matters is finding a good
cliffhanger.
Organic cotton tampons and pads and liners.
Oh my gosh!
Do you use Lola?
I have Lola in right now.
Oh, you do?
I
sorry.
Yes.
I do.
Mike's like, I did not need to know that.
Hold on.
She's showing us. Okay, so Lola is a female-founded company offering a line of organic cotton tampons. Wow, there it is. Liners. I just said there it is, like you pulled it out. But no, she pulled out an actual tampon out of her bag.
Out of my bag.
Still wrapped.
Okay. So they are 100% natural and easy to feel good about. I don't know, Tanya, it's inside of you right now. So, I mean.
How's it feel?
I have to tell you, I was shocked when I found out that tampons and pads and all these things are bleached, like chemically bleached, and then we put them inside our bodies.
Yeah.
It's actually disturbing. So I use Lola. I'm a happy consumer.
I think what I love about them too is they actually deliver. You can customize your subscription. So for me personally, this is maybe TMI, but I like only using Super. So
what does that mean?
It's the absorbency of which you need.
Like super absorbent?
Yes.
Okay.
It's more absorbent.
Yeah, you learn a new thing every day.
Yeah.
Still learning.
But if not, like, you know, you can customize because other things, it's like, oh, you have super and regular. It's like, well, I don't really use the regular. So with Lola, I'm able to customize it. And then I also know.
Right, and like you might have like one really heavy day and then the rest really light.
Right. Yes, exactly. So if someone has that, then they only maybe need like five super, right?
Exactly.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So
I know everything there is to know now.
I know you do. And then when the box shows up or when I'm getting hormonal, you'll know that my period's just around the corner.
Yep.
So Lola,
it's like my alarm clock when it shows up at the doorstep. I'm like, gosh, here we go. I'm in for a long week.
But here's
baby.
The problem. Then he'll go, oh, that's why she was emotional. Yeah.
Then it makes sense.
Okay. So Lola has been great for me. It's one worst. Less thing to worry about. They arrive at my door right before I need them, which is a nice reminder of where I am in the month. Anyways, for 40% off all subscriptions, visit MyLola.com and enter Jana when you subscribe. That's MyLola.com. And when you subscribe, just enter
Jana.
Or Tanya. Yeah.
I don't know what our code is.
You don't know your code?
It's Becca. Our code's always Becca.
All right, let's get real deep.
I mean, I have some more like marriage questions.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay, what's up, boo?
For somebody that I do, like I want to get married and I want to have a family, that's the ultimate goal for me.
With Blake.
Right.
He reminds me
of Abby.
Who's Abby?
Oh, 100%.
One of my best friends back home.
Is he a good guy?
He's the best.
Honestly,
he's married with two kids.
Uh-huh. With one kid.
One kid.
I'm never closed off to anything. So like if Blake were to be like, let's actually go out, I would be like, I'm totally down.
I think you should just give it one dinner.
I'm down.
Do you have his number?
Yes.
Okay. Then just text him.
Okay.
And be like, hey, when you're in LA next, we should for real get some dinner.
Yeah.
Put it out there. If he doesn't respond, well, then fine. F him.
Right.
Who needs him? But like, at least put it out there.
Yes. I also don't know. I think the thing with me is like, I'm very much not in the headspace of like, I don't need to just like hump around. Does that make sense? Or date around.
Like casual sex?
Yeah. I don't do that anymore. Like, I just am not built for it. But I'm also, because it hurts, or
I'm not physically
I'm
built.
Not emotion,
or
like, I'm not emotionally
built. Okay. Right. All right. Yes. All right. You got to be real literal with us.
Yes. Yes. Sorry. I'm not emotionally built for it. So I don't know if he's in that phase of like wanting to like.
Wait.
What?
What about Ryan?
That's like my brother.
But like he's single again.
This is correct.
Has there ever?
Weird.
Yeah, no.
But
it's like,
why though?
How many years have you guys worked together?
Like 8.
Right. And how many things have you guys like how much you know about each other? Like everything.
Too much.
Right.
Yeah. It's literally like a brother sister relationship. And I know it's funny because people
all right. Well, I just had that epiphany, so I was like, "Oh, right."
One of my girlfriends was like, "Unless we came out of like our mom's vagina together, you are not my brother and we can date." And I was like, "I know I get that, but I think that it's too far gone."
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's my boss and like I like the relationship that we have.
Okay. All right.
Who
Sorry.
Is he was dating somebody?
He was, and they just broke up.
I never even know.
He's like, was a model or something like that. I don't know.
He will, I think, officiate my wedding though.
Oh,
that's
cute.
Cool.
Yeah,
that's I love cool. that. Okay, so back to what you were saying.
Okay, about marriage.
Yes.
Yes.
How do you know when a guy's in that place?
Ooh. He'll show up.
Yeah.
He'll show actions. Up. He'll action. The action 100%. They can say all they want, like, "Oh, I want kids. I want that. I want to be in a relationship." But unless they're showing up. And
because like you guys
effort,
dated around, how did you know that this was different?
Because I actually wanted to work on it. So like, because he had effed up in the very beginning of our, even when we were dating.
Yeah.
And if he didn't actually really want to work on it, he could have easily been like, "Yeah, all right, whatever, next."
Yeah.
And I could have too. I'd have been like, "Oh, he screwed up, next." But I didn't. I was like, I really liked him.
Yeah, and my actions showed that I was willing to. My actions proved to her that this was different. Like, this wasn't just some girl I wanted to date for a while because of.
It's so easy to get divorced nowadays.
Yeah,
for
so
sure.
Easy.
Like you,
so
guys,
it's like
you
have to like work at it, and it's hard. It sucks. Some days it literally sucks. I mean, I have a girls group chat message where. We're just like, why is this so hard? Like, I'm so annoyed with my husband, or this just sucks sometimes, you know?
It's hard.
But isn't there something so beautiful about the fact that like,
oh, it's great.
When you're
going to
be like
great.
60, you can like look back at all these like beautiful memories that
I
you
hope
built
so.
Together.
Well, like you mentioned earlier when you talked about like companionship, right? Like that's where Jana and I just really appreciate just the trenches of what we're doing right now with two kids, busy life, a lot of travel. It's just like, you know, how do we do this? But we're doing it, you know. Regardless, at the end of the day, we know we're together. We're gonna be together. We're figuring it out. We're doing life. It's like, you know, that's the companionship, like the depth of it that it's, you know, you really want.
Yeah, like you have like a teammate.
Yeah,
yeah.
And
yeah,
I think
yeah.
that there's something so special about that.
I love that. It no,
is,
I really do.
It is cool.
I yeah. always say like in the times of chaos is when I love him the most. Is because yeah. I'm like, we're here doing this together.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we both are empathetic to how hard it is. So when it gets hard, we both want to help each other and pick each other up and reassure one another, like, hey, we're doing this. Our kids are healthy, our kids are alive, we're providing for them. So when you think of it in that kind of point of view, you're like, hey, you know what, we're okay.
So do you guys hang...
Oh, no, it's okay, go ahead.
Do you guys hang out with, like, other married couples?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to have single friends. So I have a single friend, Sarah. Well, yes. I guess she shouldn't say she's single.
She's with boyfriend, right?
Yeah, she's with boyfriend. She's with boyfriend.
She has with boyfriend.
She's with boyfriend for 6 years. Still no ring. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's still like she still doesn't understand. You know what I mean? It's still hard.
Yeah. So I actually, one of my mentors in life is Devon Franklin, and I read all of his books. And one of the rules in his marriage is we do not ask our single friends for relationship advice.
No, you can't. No.
Yeah.
Isn't that's Megan Good's husband, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we have their book,
their
The
book,
Wait.
The Wait.
Yeah.
It's great. It's great. A great book.
It's a great book.
Great book.
Yeah, they're awesome. Hey, can I read this? Speaking of friends, though, this is from Becky, my best friend and my husband. My husband and I have been together almost 12 years now, and the first 8 years were full of indiscretions on his part. Most were just him talking to girls, but never any action. But then 4 years ago, someone walked into our lives and knew exactly how to play us to her benefit. The person became my best friend and even started dating my brother. Before she came into our lives, everything was good, but then we started fighting way more than normal. I started to pick up on little cues, and she was trying to make me mad at him. Turned out she was doing the same things to him. She wanted him and would do whatever it took. Bottom line, she got what she wanted, and I discovered a 4-month affair between my supposed best friend and my life partner. We are 4.5 years out, but I still think about it at least once every single day. I don't know that I'll ever be able to fully move beyond the situation. It feels so personal. You and Mike inspire me, but I don't know that my wounds will ever heal. I'm curious what you guys think about how close is it? How close is okay with your spouse's best friend? Tanya's like, I don't know.
Well, I think what's interesting, so Jana and I kind of touched on this, and this is, again, I mean, we don't really hold back on this podcast. So for Jana and kind of her love language and what she appreciates is, to be candid, it's like, say a hypothetical. If Jana ever cheated in our relationship, it would probably be with somebody that we're close to, because mm-hmm. she likes to be intimate with people. She likes to know them, and that's where she like garners like love and appreciation and affection.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Where me, I'm intimate avoidant. So for me, it could never be someone that like we were friends with or we knew, or because that would be super uncomfortable.
Right.
For me, it would have to be completely a complete stranger that I don't know, you know. So it's, you know, it's it, that whole dynamic is interesting. And for, I mean, the closeness. So I say that because, yes, because of my past, Jana still, you know, wants to make sure there's boundaries with everyone in our life, which is completely understandable. You know, but I think she still acknowledges that, too, in the back of her mind. Like, this would, like, I don't think he would ever step that far because of him being so uncomfortable. Now, I think you just have to examine that relationship on.
Well, like, I would be uncomfortable. Like, yes, Julie's my best friend, but I wouldn't feel comfortable if you and Julie were like, we're going to go have lunch.
Right.
I'd be like, yeah. Like, right. I think there's certain boundaries that you have to have with, and I trust Julie with my life. Like, right. And she's freaking watching our kid right now. You know what I mean? Right. Like,
and she was one of the rare few from the very beginning was very supportive.
Yeah. She was like,
of us.
Yeah. So, but I mean, it just. I mean, okay, for example, like our friend, you know, that we're going to have in the our neighborhood, our new neighborhood friends, it's like one-on-one. I still just think one-on-one other sex is just not.
I'm with you.
I don't see why, like what there would never, I don't see where there would ever be a scenario why that would have to happen.
Yeah. I have what a lot of married friends, and I like to, if I ever need to text like the guy, mm-hmm. it's always something that when it, like the girl can't know if it's like a surprise.
No, exactly. 100%. Yeah, 100%.
Other than that, it's I always text the girl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Always.
100%.
Or I group chat. And it's funny because we have one of my bosses is a man, and I'll like just send him like whenever I have like a topic idea, it might be like 9 o'clock at night, 10 p.m. or whatever. And I always tell him, I'm like, I feel awkward texting you at like 10 p.m. at night because you're married with kids.
Right.
Right.
You know? But he's like, no, send it. But I still feel like, because I know that he's married, and it's like I'm so not like
right.
But I still get like I feel like there should be boundaries.
100%.
Could you ever see yourself? Oh, first of all, I just want to say, Becky, I'm really sorry, and just I applaud you guys for trying. But it's just going to take time, and your triggers are going to be there, and hopefully he can, hopefully he can be empathetic to your triggers and
respect boundaries.
And respect boundaries, yeah, because that's gotta cut deep and get that girl out of your life. The other girl.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah.
Do you think you could ever, I mean, here's the thing. When I always say this, do you think you could ever, I think anyone's capable of anything, but do you think you could ever cheat in a relationship?
No.
What if you put yourself in the situation that it's, I mean, you know,
it's actually like a flaw of mine. Like I'm like brutally loyal. Mm-hmm. Like I can't even like, it's like,
it's bad.
It's bad. Mm-hmm. So
it's not bad. That's great.
It's great, but it's also like a little bit of a flaw because I feel like sometimes I stay in friendships, even friendships that I don't.
Longer
than, yeah,
that aren't healthy. Because
I'm just like, I've known you for so long and I'm loyal to you. You know,
right?
So no, I don't think that I could. And I've been cheated on before, and it's like, mm-hmm. It just broke me. I'm also a Cancer, so I'm very, very sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Can we do this top one, babe?
Yeah.
Married to a sex addict, so from Kelly.
Oh.
Wait, what were you gonna say, Tanya?
You guys are just like really cute. Like I just like this is so creepy. I just like watching you guys.
Aw. Thanks,
you.
Tanya.
Like it's really appreciate sweet. That.
Thanks, babe.
Thank and you. I actually want to sidebar with you a little bit about sex addiction.
Okay.
Okay, well, this is great because we're going to go on this email. Our next email. Married to a sex addict. I found out in August my husband is a sex addict, and for our 3 years of marriage has been meeting up with women he met on sex apps. He said he has said he doesn't want to lose our family and wants to get better. We don't have financial means for him to do an inpatient program, which we, again, sidebar, we understand it's incredibly expensive.
Yeah.
We tried couples counseling and stopped going when he said it was making things worse. After listening to your podcast last week, he actually looked into the information Mike mentioned and has joined an SAA group, that you call into. he is trying, but I still have zero trust in him. Most of the time, I feel like I hate him and would rather be alone. Do these feelings ever end, or is our marriage just doomed? How do you trust someone when they have become a pro at deceiving you and spent years successfully doing it?
Wow, what an email. Yeah. So loaded.
You go, Ben.
First of all, I'll say, Kelly, you know, if he wants to have someone to talk to, because call-in meetings are great.
You do call-in meetings.
Yeah.
When you can.
In-person meetings are even better.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all about creating intimacy with other human beings who have the same issues or suffer like he does. If he wants to contact me.
Jana Kramer at iHeartMedia.com.
Yes. And reference that you're Kelly and you wrote this email and him and I can get in touch. Man, that's a lot.
I will say to Kelly, you just found out, so you got to give yourself some time. Every other day, I considered, do I just leave? I'm so miserable. But you have to give it. I gave it a year. That's what my therapist said. Give it a year. And then after a year, you don't think about it as much. I still think about it every day, but it's not, the impact is not as strong as it was.
You don't think about it as much if he's doing the work.
Yes, and he has to show up and do the work. But I applaud him, though, for even doing, finding the SAA groups. That's huge.
That's going to change a lot in him. So good on him and keep encouraging him to do that.
That's just again, hard. When she just found out, that's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to encourage.
Yeah, I'm not even saying, hey, honey, yeah, keep going. I'm mm-hmm. you know, not like that, but... allow him if you have to reschedule something or kind of
right.
schedule around that to accommodate, like allow him to do that
mm-hmm.
type of deal.
Tanya, what was your question?
I'm like getting emotional about it because like when you found out, were you guys already married at the time?
We were married for over a year.
If you had found out about his sex addiction when you were dating, would you have gone out?
Good question.
It's a great question.
If I would have found out about the affair before we got married, I wouldn't have married him. That's the question. But if I knew if he had a sex addiction before we got married, I don't think I wouldn't date him because if he showed me that he was working, like, hey, I've been sober for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like getting emotional.
Hey, what's
because I really liked this guy, and it was just like I was like, I don't think I can ever.
Did he tell you that he was a sex addict?
Yeah.
When?
Okay. Oh, a little bit ago.
That's hard, and when Jana was saying that brought that thought to my head is I know plenty of guys in program who. We'll start dating and get to that point in the relationship where they have to own that. Like, and I've known several guys who the significant other couldn't handle it, which is totally fine. And then some that have been able to.
How long was he sober for?
Not
long.
Was
he sober?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, so he was in still active addiction.
Yeah.
So then I would say, no, I couldn't do that either.
Yeah.
But if he was saying, I'm in recovery, and this is how long I've been recovering for, and I do these meetings, that would make me feel safer. And I would have explored still, because I believe I would.
Mm-hmm.
But if he was still in active addiction, then there's no, that's insanity.
Yeah. Don't feel bad about not taking that on, because I don't think anybody...
I'm surprised he admitted that, but isn't showing.
It was because I like found out a different way.
Did he cheat? We don't know the person.
No, I know. No.
It's Do just you like believe in sex addiction?
It's funny because I didn't at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't. I thought it was an excuse for bad behavior.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
So that's kind of what I like chalked it up to, you know, and for me, I'm just like so on the other side of that at the moment. Cause like, I'm just telling you guys, like I can't have unattached sex. Like I've been very vocal about that. So I was like, if this were to ever like be something, like I don't, that mindset is so foreign to me, mm-hmm. you know? so it sucked because it's like, you know, you don't meet people that you hit it off with all the time.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot. I mean, but again, I don't. Unfortunately, in your situation, that's one of those that almost validates it as an excuse. It, like, I can see how that would feel like, all right, that's just an excuse for bad behavior because you guys are dating, I don't know for how long, but obviously not that long, and you discover whatever it was.
Did you confront him? And yeah. Did he admit to it?
Yeah, it was just tough because I think that had I not found out, it wouldn't have been a conversation for a lot longer. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Hmm. Well, you know what? Now we're going to just, I mean, I don't know. How do you even?
Again, just don't, I hope you don't beat yourself up at all for feeling bad about leaving that because he was unhealthy.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Period. So I wouldn't expect anybody who's newly dating somebody to sign up for that when they're not in recovery. So don't feel bad about that in any way, shape, or form. But again, to touch on that email, Kelly, reach out to Jana at iHeart, right?
Jana Kramer at iHeartMedia.com.
And I'll be more than willing to talk to your husband and hear him out.
You said you've been wanting to be a sponsor, so maybe that'll be your first stab at it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you for being a guest on our show, Miss Tanya Rad. I love you. I love your energy. I love what you bring. And
thanks for opening up.
And y'all listen to Tanya Rad. She has an amazing podcast with Becca Tilly. It's called Scrubbing In on the iHeartRadio podcast app. So y'all listen to her podcast because it's really good. And I just love you. So
thank you. Thanks for having me. I had fun.
We're going to have you back on all the time.
Okay, Tanya, I know that we said bye to you, but Mike's like, wait, where's Tanya? I have one more question I want to ask her.
Tanya, come back.
He's like, come back.
I was in the back of the train with Blake.
Oh, you were?
I was, yeah.
How is it going?
That's why the bathroom door is locked. No, just kidding. No, I did have a question to get back on our topic that we were talking about that you're so open and vulnerable about. My question is, say that the person that you were dating or beginning to have a relationship with told you that he was an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
How would your response differ?
Interesting.
It is interesting because I have also had that same situation. I've had that situation happen.
Really?
Yes. And what's interesting about that is that did not shake me at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because
why is that? Why do you think that?
I don't know. The reason why that ended was because other reasons that had nothing to do with the fact that he didn't drink alcohol. Mm-hmm. But I was willing to keep going.
But he was sober?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So if he had said, again, to mirror the scenario, if he said, hey, you know, I'm an alcoholic, I've been sober a week or something, you know, whatever it was, to mirror the situation you're in, would you still kind of be more accepting of him being an alcoholic as opposed to a sex
addict? I know. It's a very interesting question, and the answer is yes.
Why? Okay. Why do you think that is?
I think because, I don't know, but for me, alcohol is so minutia in life. Do you know what I mean? Like, take mm-hmm. it or leave it. Like, oh, I like okay. to drink, but I don't necessarily need a partner. I don't
right,
drink
I, like,
enough.
I don't have to drink.
Exactly.
Or, yeah.
So for me, it was kind of like take it or leave it. Whereas sex to me is so intimate and so personal and so like such a big part that mm-hmm. that was like a big trigger for me.
For sure. And I think I asked just because, you know, obviously the 12-step program is universal for any addiction. And part of my whole motivation to speak about this more openly is to try to move the needle a little bit into social acceptance. Having said that, I think we're even in 10 to 15 years when society is more comfortable with sex addiction, I think there's still going to be that layer of if someone's proposed with your situation, one is a little bit more tolerated or accepted than the other because there's not again, sex is so personal, and it's something that when you're in a committed relationship, you're in the understanding that it's just with each other.
Yeah.
So no matter what, no matter how accepted sex addiction becomes, it's still going to be part of it, which I think is okay.
So it's interesting because, so I was telling you guys, I used to be able, I would have unattached sex all the time.
Right.
And I was always getting hurt. And it was like, until I read The Weight by Devon and Megan, when I realized, and I met him, and I was like, I'm going to make this commitment. I'm not going to have sex outside of a committed relationship. It's been a minute for me.
Oh, wow. So you still haven't?
Nope.
Oh, wow.
It's been a long time. And, but it's been the most fulfilling.
Mm. Yeah.
Because I used to give sex expecting something bigger in return. And when that didn't happen, I would just be all in my head of like, why does he not want to be with me? Why all these questions. Mm-hmm. And now that that's not even on the table for me, that's not even an option until he's committed.
Yeah.
I haven't had those feelings, and those are the feelings that make me feel really, really bad about myself.
Right.
And it might not have anything to do with me, but I would always take them personal.
From an outsider standpoint, just because you're here and you don't, you know, obviously know a lot about the addiction, do you have any like questions that come to mind like about it that you want to ask Mike?
Kind of, yeah. But I obviously I feel like
I'm open. If whatever you want to ask, it's not like I haven't heard it.
So that's an addiction of yours, and you are married.
Correct.
So you can stay committed to somebody knowing like, I want to foster this relationship for the long haul. This is just something that I'm dealing with. So are you not open with it?
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
Like if you have a thought of something, do you share that with Jana?
Oh, like if he has a thought of acting out or a thought of porn
right.
Yeah, that's something that, you know, I've brought to Jana's attention because she asked and she said, you know, I want to know like what you struggle with. Having said that, it's hard to do because still Jana has accepted and understood a lot of this addiction. But at the same time, it's hard to explain that, hey, maybe this came into my head, but it's not because I don't want you. It's not because I don't. It's just, we had a discussion about this recently, Jana and I was like, the thing is, those feelings that come up, it's not necessarily about, it's not I want to do those things. It's I'm trying to handle the feelings that I'm feeling in that moment, whether it's anxiety or stress or not good enough or whatever. My default for my entire life was to go to sex. Or to, whenever I felt those feelings, was to think about this, or was to go to this certain place. So now, retraining my brain and retraining my body to not react that way, it's inevitable. It's going to happen. But having been sober for the last year, the lust of the mind does go away. It does fade.
Like
so
when you stop feeding it, that's a thing. Like if you think about chocolate every day, like, and then you have to start training your mind, like, that to not think about chocolate. You might think about chocolate sometimes, but it lessens every day.
Right. The intrigue of it lessens the more time you stay away from it. So,
And I think for me, I was like, I'm I'm abstaining from sex until I'm in a committed relationship.
Right.
And I wasn't in a committed relationship at the time. So in my mind, I was like, I don't even know what's going on. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I can't, especially if this happened in that window, like you said, where you're, you know, have this goal for yourself and abstaining from sex, and yet this person's a sex addict who's not in recovery, who's, you know, still watching porn or still acting out or whatever it is. I can't imagine. That's two different ends of the spectrum.
Yeah. So I think for me, it was just like, it's like so far from where I'm going.
Right.
That it was like, I don't even know how to handle it.
Oh, understandably so.
Good show, guys.
Tanya, thanks for coming on.
Thanks again, Tanya.
I appreciate it. But it's something that's actually interesting that a lot of people have actually reached out to me about, because they're like, it comes up in conversations when I'm dating, you know? Because it's like, no, I'm not going to just like, I would meet someone and go sleep with them that night and like not care.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not even think. And it's so different for me now.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's how I have to just.
Well, it's going
to
be really meaningful when you actually do have that next relationship.
For sure.
Huge Balake. Big thank you to Robinhood. They're giving listeners a wind down of free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. Sign up at winddown.robinhood.com. Lola for 40% off all subscription. Visit mylola.com and enter Jana when you subscribe. River Terrace Inn, Napa Valley Wine Train. Thank you so much for having us this weekend. It's been a blast. I love you, babe.
I love you too.
This is, by the way, really fun. I'm happy to be in Napa because this was where you re-proposed to me 2 years ago.
2 years ago. You thought it was last year.
I did. Time was a little off.
Newsflash. It was two years ago.
2 years ago, Michael re-proposed to me in Napa. So Napa will always hold a special place in my heart.
For sure.
Yeah. Yay. Okay.
Thanks for winding down.
Love you guys. Wind down later. Bye.